Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. Smack My Picks Up with Marco from Waco and Showtime from Tennessee. Gentlemen, it is that time of year, and just, you know what, we'll get into this later. What is your favorite holiday song? Because I have to admit, I have quite a few of them. But let's get into it, guys. We go to the one and only, the time, the man who, you know what? This computer is acting up. I have now the Proteus disease. Shout out to my boy Proteus. All right, here we go. The man who put the show in time. Know when to fold up, know when to walk away,
know when to run. You never count your money. Sitting at the table. What's going on, fellas?
Oh, I love when he does that. I love when he does that. What's going on, fellas? I mean, that's like a signature right there. Hold on, we gotta give a shout out to our boy Pro, who's has to change his winter tires. He gets he gets snow over there, guys. And the one and only. The man down south. The man who has something to say about Chris Cyborg. Marco from Waco.
Marco from Waco. ¿Qué pasa, gatos?
Gentlemen, you know what? It's that time of year. Do you guys, Showtime, do you enjoy the holiday season?
Oh, yeah, man. I love it, man. When I think about the holiday season and I think about music, man, my song is This Christmas by Donny Hathaway, man. That's an old song, but that's a classic, man.
Someone else redid that song, though, right, Showtime? This Christmas has been done a few times?
Yeah, Chris Brown did it. I think CeeLo Green did it. A couple people have redone that song, you know. But I love that. The original one is one I love, man. I remember growing up as a little kid with my mom playing that song, man. I always think about that.
All right. You know what? My favorite song for Christmas is, believe it or not, it's the Hall & Oates version of Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Believe it or not. Do you guys remember? No, sorry. Jingle Bell Rock. Do you guys remember that song?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Marco, what's your favorite Christmas song?
What if it goes up like Christmas?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot. Yeah, I love that song. Hey, question for you. Die Hard, Christmas movie or not?
Oh,
100. Showtime, what say you? Is it?
I say it's not. It got a couple Christmas things, but I don't think it's necessarily a Christmas movie. But, you know, I think it has some Christmas things in it. But, I don't know, that's my opinion.
So, let me ask you this then.
For my point of view, the guy killed a whole bunch of bank terrorists just to go get with his family on Christmas, man. Just to be with his family in time for Christmas, he killed all the bad guys. So that is a Christmas movie, dude.
What's your favorite Christmas movie, Marco?
It's A Beautiful Life, by far. One of the best movies ever.
That one's sad, though. Showtime, because he doesn't he lose everything?
But that the and moral then, of the story is that his life means something, even though he thinks it doesn't. So
and then
he gets
and then in the movie, go ahead, Marco.
He has a happy ending, dude. He realizes that even though he thinks his life is worthless and you know everybody will be better without him, he realizes that his absence makes a difference in the world. That things will be completely different and not for the worse without him.
But doesn't he get slapped around by the guy in the pharmacy, the old man? Doesn't he slap him around?
Ah, so what? A little slapping that killed everybody.
Ouch! Ouch! Ow!
That's exactly what I did to your mother, buddy.
Hey, Showtime, what's your favorite Christmas song? I'm sorry, movie. Favorite Christmas movie. Showtime? Did we lose Showtime, Marco?
Looks like it. I don't hear him.
Yeah, can you hear
Showtime.
Me now?
There
yes.
We go. Now we can hear you. Now you're Oreo from Vancouver. Where's Oreo from? Is it Oreo from Vancouver?
What is your favorite Christmas movie, Showtime? What is the favorite Christmas movie?
Probably Bad Santa or Home Alone.
Home Alone. Home Alone, yeah.
Yeah, I had to step out the box a little bit, man, you know, with the little comedy a little bit, you know. Bad Santa, man, that was just a crazy, silly movie, man. He's just such a bad guy.
Bad Santa is not a bad movie. You're right. That's a good one, right, Dana?
Thank you, dummies.
Okay, guys, let's get into it. Let's go into the tail of the tape we go. By the way, this is going to be my first UFC event that I've ever attended ever. So UFC on Fox 22, Paige VanZant versus the karate hottie Michelle Waterson, guys, in Sacra Tomato. Boy, it's this week. Good Lord. Talk about everything that's going on. All right, guys. Let's go. Let's start from the bottom up, guys. Let's go with the main card. Alan Jouban, a plus 110 versus Platinum Mike Perry, a minus 130. I'm actually surprised. I'm not going to lie. Showtime that Platinum Perry is a favorite here. Perry, of course, Platinum Mike Perry, 25 years old, 9-0. Perry's undefeated, you guys. This is a heavy hitter. He's 2-0 in the UFC, Marco. All of his wins have either been a KO or a TKO. Alan Jouban, the model, 34 years young, 14-4, guys. Jouban, who's a professional model was for Armani, now with Versace. He's a damn good kickboxer, guys. He's earned Fight of the Night, believe it or not, guys, 3 times, and he's 4-1 in his last 5. Marco, what you got?
I like this fight, and even though, you know, Platinum Mike Perry come out a little douchey for some people, you know, he got a little controversy with his corner, you know, on the Don't You Wink fight, you know, with the racial slurs and stuff. It's one undeniable fight. The guy can crack. The guy has power on his hands, and he's tough as nails. So his last fight, he was put to a little bit of a test, but he still was able to put the guy away, you know. Jouban, I mean, you know, it's well known that the guy's a professional model, you know. He already got a side gig on the side that probably pays him more than what he makes in the UFC, to be honest. He's not really like, I don't think the guy's all in, you know. And also his age of 34, he's not a prospect anymore. He's kind of sort of like a middle of the road veteran. It's a good match, and it is understandably why they got a Platinum Perry as a favorite. He's younger, meaner. He's all in on the fight game. I mean, the guy eats, sleeps, and breathes freaking fighting. I am on the bandwagon, man. For all the controversy of this guy, the guy can fight. The guy got the attitude. The guy got the punching power. And I think he's going to put Giovanna Weir on the second round. And let's get on the hype train with a Platinum Mike.
Damn. Showtime. What you got? Marco has Perry. Second round TKO.
I'm going to tell you this now. Joe Bond is a pretty boy, but he can fucking crack them too. And this is actually the type of fight when you just stand toe-to-toe. I think, you know, from this past weekend of the Cub Swanson Do Ho Choi fight, I want to see what Perry does when he get cracked back, because Joe Bond's going to crack him just as well as he's going to get Joe Bond. So Perry may be the younger, stronger fighter, but I think Joe Bond is a live dog in this fight. You know, I'm going to have him on one of my little crazy dog parlays that I like to play. You know, I'll probably play Sage on that, and I'll play Joe Bond, and I'll play somebody else on there, probably Bob Arena on that dummy parlay as well. But I think it'll be a good fight. It'll be plenty of excitement. You won't have anybody running, I tell you that. You're going to have two guys meeting, and they're going to fight, and they're going to change, and whoever can withstand the punishment is going to win the fight, you know, basically. But I like Perry with all that being said. I like Perry.
So you're going with Perry then too?
Yeah, I'm going with Perry. But I think, with that being said, Joe Bond is a live dog, though. But I'm more agree with Marco. He's young and he's hungry, man. I think that guy's coming from nothing, and he's trying to claw his way up and get some money. It's hard to keep a young, hungry lion down. You know, a hungry lion is dangerous. I just think Perry is a hungry lion right now.
You know, what Goz was saying is no one should bet on this card. So you might have something there, guys. But I'm going with, believe it or not, I'm going Alan Jobon. And I'm going Jobon with some sort of head kick, either first or second round TKO. So I'm going, and believe it or not, I'm going Jobon, you guys.
You like them pretty boys, don't you?
No,
you
not
like
me.
Them pretty boys.
Not me.
Excuse me, bitch.
Hold on, guys. Guess what? Someone's knocking on the door. Hang on. Let's find out who it is, guys. Bear with me one second.
Who is it? Who is it?
Coming at you from the frozen tundra of Ontario, Canada. This is Frodius coming live and direct.
What's up?
I'm only here for a quick second, guys, and getting my winter tires put on because it's cold as you know what up here, guys. I'm going with the face tattoo as well. And my favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard 1. And just as they said at the beginning of the movie, this is Christmas music. Bye-bye, guys. Have a good night.
See you later, bro. All right.
Hey, when it comes to winter tires, that's when I get a Jeep. When I got two Jeeps, and they got all-terrain tires, so I don't have to go to the hassle.
But you don't get snow. Showtime, do you get snow?
Yeah, we get a little snow down here. It snows. I'm pretty much tucked off not far from the from the Smoky Mountains here in Tennessee. East Tennessee. So yeah, we get a little snow.
And you're gonna be in Vegas around New Year's, right? Because
yeah.
I think that's what you were telling Gorgeous George and Goz.
Yeah, I'll be in Vegas from the 29th, I think, through January 4th or 5th. I'll be in Vegas.
Damn. Lucky you. I know, and you said you're gonna drop in there. I know you're gonna say,
sorry, I'm late. I just don't give a fuck.
Thank you. All right, guys, let's move on. Guys, we move on to the card now. This is where there's a little bit of Marco. You're gonna set me straight on this one, because here's where it's a little odd. So, Wikipedia has, and everything I looked up actually has, the third to the top fight as Uriah the California Kid Faber. Do me a favor. versus Brad One Punch Pickett, but Fight Finder has the Northcutt Gall fight. Which one's next? Is it Northcutt Gall or Faber Pickett?
No, Northcutt Gall as the command, dude. It's all about patience sake.
All right, oh, how about that?
Talking about patience sake. Wait. Before we start, patience sake are going to share the big fuck stage. They're going to get locked in a cage. Even though they look underage, they're going to show us their rage. It's probably minimum wage.
Oh, look at that. Oh, man. Did you hear that?
Who the fuck is that guy?
Wow. Damn. How about that? Oh, man. All right, guys. Let's go into the tail of the tape. We go. Here we go, guys. We're going to try to get this, like we always say, within the hour. So let's see if we can get this right. So we're going to go to the bantamweight. We go, guys. Uriah, the California kid favorite. You know what? I actually should. He's the headliner, so rather the more, probably the most popular fighter in this card. Brad One Punch Pickett, 38 years young, guys, 25-12. Pickett is 1-4 in his last five. His lone win, a split decision over Francisco Rivera, and losses, of course, to Alcantara, Almeida, and Ian McCall. Ooh, gosh, I can't remember the last time I actually saw Ian McCall fight, guys. It seems like every fight is never comes to fruition. Showtime Uriah, the California kid Faber, he's calling it quits after this one. He says 37 years young, 33-10. The California kid is 2-3 in his last five, guys. Two straight back-to-back losses to the champion Dominick Cruz and Jimmy with an IE Rivera. Keep in mind, most of his losses, Showtime, are decisions. He's only lost three times via TKO. So for the hard-punching one-punch Pickett, Showtime, what you got?
I actually think this is probably a fight tailored for the California kid. He at that point in his career right now where those young studs like Rivera and all those, they're a little bit too much for him right now. An older fighter that likes to throw a lot of hard punches, he'll be able to probably take him down and, you know, move around and dance and, you know, put on a show. Pretty much they gave him a good fight to go out on. If he comes in and does what he's supposed to do, he'll probably win by decision again. Pickett does have a lot of power, but I just think with Uriah's movement and footwork and all that, I think he'll be able to stay out of trouble. He may get cracked a time or two, but I think, you know, ultimately he'll be able to stay out of trouble and win a decision. Or he may choke him out, you know, who knows. But I'm going with Faber in that, though. I'll go with Faber by decision, basically.
Marco, what say you? Is it going to be
okay,
the California kid or one punch?
Okay. It's going to be Uriah Faber. I mean, I cannot go against the California kid. I got pictures with the dude, for crying out loud. But I'm going to tell you why, though. Brad Pickett, for as good as he is, he's always been a middle-of-the-road bantamweight and also middle-of-the-road flyweight. He was never on the elite. And we mentioned it. I mean, Uriah Faber only lost to the top of the line. And the last kid he lost to is a top prospect. And I believe, what was his name, Rivera? Well, whatever. The last kid he lost to, I think he's going to be a contender within this year. So we're going to look
Rivera?
Back at that. Yeah, you're going to look back at this Jimmy Rivera loss, and you're going to say, oh, well, this guy was really, you know, a top contender or even a champion. So, yeah, it's not going to look so bad of Uriah Faber losing to this kid in the future. Uriah is better than most of the people on the bantamweight division. If he wanted to fight for two more years, he will beat most of the lower tier of the top 10 and most of the bantamweights in this planet, not ranked top five. So Uriah Faber is going to, you know, especially because it's in his hometown in Sacramento and, you know, in his home crowd where he got some of his best fights, he's going to tool on Brad Pickett. I mean, Brad Pickett was supposed to retire on the Manchester card, you know, when Michael Bisping fought Anderson Silva. But for one reason or another, that didn't happen. You know, the rumor wasn't he was going to retire then. And I see that he might retire after this fight. You know, Uriah Faber is going to go out on a win in front of an adoring crowd, and he's going to probably put a guillotine choke and choke out Brad Pickett late in the first round.
You know what, guys? I actually agree with you guys. So this isn't going to be fun. I agree with you that it's going to be favored, but I'll tell you this, guys. You like that? The California kid himself. I'll tell you this, guys. I honestly think it's going to be a submission as well, guys. So I'm going to give it to Faber via submission. Let's just say third round sub over Brad Pickett. All right, guys, let's move on to the tail of the tape we go. Man, I like this song. I'm not going to lie. All right, let's move on to the tail of the tape we go. The one and only Mickey Gall, 24 years old, 3-0. The 6'2 Gall is a taller fighter of the two guys. Of course, he's 3-0, and all his wins via submission. Gall is, I think, obviously a true welterweight and probably a middleweight, guys, in the future with his, you know, with his stature. That's what I think. I think he's going to be in the middleweight in the future. He's going up against the one and only Super Sage Northcutt, 20 years old. Man, I can't even tell you what the hell I was doing at 20 years old. 8-1, guys. He was undefeated until he lost unexpectedly to Brian Barina, a welterweight. And actually, to be honest with you, he didn't even really look good against Enrique Marin at lightweight. But keep in mind, he's really a lightweight fighting at welterweight. So we go to the man to put the show in time and the man that's faster than Marco and I put together. Showtime, what you got?
You know what? I sat there and gave this a lot of thought thinking about this fight, man. I don't really know what you have in Mickey Gall yet, man. As much as I want to pick Mickey Gall, I actually think this is if Sage comes out and fights well. I don't know what kind of stand-up game Mickey has. I know Sage is pretty powerful on his feet with his kick. So I'm picking Sage, man. That's what I'm betting my money at on this. I was sitting there salivating over that when I saw that line. I mean, we saw Mickey basically. Hell, I feel like I could choke CM Punk out, and I'm a white guy. I feel like in a street fight, I beat CM Punk ass in a street fight. So I'm going with Sage because I know what I got. I've seen Sage have some put together some good rounds against some good competition, and I haven't seen Mickey do that yet. As much as I want to like the story of the little song, "Hey Mickey, you so fine," and all that, you know, as much as I want to buy into that, I'm going with Sage in this.
All right, and I agree. I'm well, you know what? I don't know anything about CM Punk, but and I'm sure he can kick my ass, but I'm pretty sure that are the man that put show in time. I'm pretty sure he can choke him out. Marco, we go to the Gall. Is it going to be Gall or is it going to be Super Sage?
Okay.
Yeah, you sound great.
Hello? Oh.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, well.
No, sir.
You know what? A lot of people, you know, for as much as they shit on Sage Northcutt, they forget this kid has been doing martial arts since he was 5 years old. If Mickey Gall want to keep this fight standing, he's going to get murked. He's going to get destroyed. I think Sage is the better athlete. The eye test said that he's a better athlete. You know, the guy can rip apples with bare hands for crying out loud. And the record of Mickey Gall make me very uncomfortable. He's 3-0, but he's 3-0 against CM Punk, a pro wrestler that does not know how to fight. Michael Jackson, a part-time fighter that is actually a journalist. You know, he's actually a journalist for the MMA media. And then a dude that was 0-0 at the RFA when they made their freaking professional debut. You know, who the fuck is that guy? So it is easy to look great if you are like a purple belt or a brown belt against guys that got no ground game. I mean, like Chotan said, I can choke CM Punk out and a blue belt in Army Combatics. So that, take that for what it's worth. I'm taking Sage, and I'm taking Sage because I think that he's going to be able to keep distance, and if Mickey Gall try to keep it standing, he's going to get marked up. And, well, for whatever it's worth, Sage is also a finisher, and he has some, you know, shocks of his own, on his own. If he goes to the ground, it's going to be a little bit complicated. We'll truly see what the ground game of Sage Northcutt is all about. And we're truly going to see if Mickey Gall's gram is legit. Because like I said before, it's easy to look great when you're, you know, choking somebody that doesn't know what the fuck is going on. So, but I'm going with Sage, and I think it's going to be a unanimous decision for Sage. 30-27 across the board, because he's going to be able to keep that distance, you know, with that crazy shotgun karate footwork. And he has blitzing and marking out, making a goal, and, you know, making it look actually kind of easy.
Wow.
Who the fuck is that guy?
You know what, guys? I'm going to agree with you guys. I hate to do this because, except for, I guess, Joban, I'm with you guys all across the board. So,
excuse me, bitch.
But I agree with you guys. For whatever reason, I think it's going to be a decision. I do think it's going to be Sage. And I just think that Sage, although honestly, I don't think he's there yet. I think he's a little bit more advanced than where Gall is right now, guys. So obviously he's not going to win a championship right now.
Championship.
So, but yeah, I agree with you guys. I'm going to go with Showtime and Marco on this one. I'm taking Sage over Mickey Gall. Nothing.
Nice. All right. No, no reaction. You get nothing, data. Crickets. That's what you get.
Oh, man. All right, guys. We move up to the fight that, man, I this is the fight that, you know what? This whole card, I agree with Showtime on this. I think this whole card is one of those things that I'm looking forward to. And I really don't know, except for Uriah over Pickett, I really don't know. I don't have a definitive, you know, like this person's winning. But let's go to the women's strawweight. We go, guys. PVZ, a -115 over Michelle Waterson. Now, this is going to confuse me right here, Showtime. A -205. So I guess this is a pick, Marco. We'll find out, and we'll see what we get. 12-gauge Paige Van Zandt, 22 years young, 7-2. The superstar PVZ, and let's not get it twisted. She is a superstar. She's only lost twice, period, guys. Her recent loss, of course, to Nama Yunus, where she didn't look good, and actually PVZ looked devastated after the loss. But frankly, I think she was just overwhelmed by Nama Yunus, who's a much taller, rangier fighter, going up against one of my favorite fighters, the karate hottie Michelle Waterson, 30 years young. For whatever reason, I thought she was older than that. The karate hottie, by the way, guys, is 4-1 in her last five. Her recent loss in Invicta to Erica DiBurcio in, of course, by surprise submission. So I was surprised by that, the guillotine. We go to the Marco. We go, Marco, PVZ versus the Michelle, the karate hottie, Michelle Waterson. What you got?
First of all, for this fight, my wife had to hide the lotion, man, because, you know, these two girls are
That's exactly what I
went there. But, you know what? For all his work, I mean, Michelle Waterson is great. You know, she got really good standards. She's the karate hottie, of course. But I think because she was an atomweight, she's very undersized. And baseball side might be raw, but she's greedy. I mean, she showed her toughness in that Rose Namajunas fight. And then she redeemed herself against Beck Rollins. She totally murked that girl. And I think she's going to make it ugly. She's going to get in the clinch, take Michelle Waterson down. And I think it's going to be pretty easy for her to take her down because she's really a true atom weight. And she's blowing out to go to 115 while, you know, hunger here. She cuts down to 115, Paige Van Zandt. I think Paige is going to look good. She's going to grind this girl out and probably ground and pound her on the second round for a TKO win. I'm taking Paige Van Zandt. And that's what I had to say about that.
Wow. TKO. Gosh. You know what? I could be wrong about this, but you know me. I walk like an Egyptian. Nothing. Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Oh, my bad. Yep. All right, go to Showtime. Showtime. What? Is it going to be PVZ or is it going to be the Karate Hottie?
I got to echo what Marco said. I just think Paige is going to be a little bit too big and too explosive.
Damn.
To be honest, bigger girl. I think Paige has trouble when she fights people that can muscle her, kind of like, the fight that we was talking about, when she just kind of basically just got muscled around. And I don't think, Michelle will be able to just muscle around, like she did in that brutal loss. But, and Paige is tough as shit. I mean, even though Rose muscled her around and beat her up, Paige fought and basically was bleeding like a hog and showed me some toughness. So, I mean, I got to pick Paige. I don't really see any way that Michelle could win this fight, to be honest. I think it'll probably be a decision by Paige, unless she does something explosive, looking like she did in the last fight and ends it. I just can't, I can't wrap my mind around seeing how Michelle Waterson can win this fight.
Gosh, all right, guys. I'm probably going to be the lone wolf on this one, guys. Hold on. I think Rhonda just called me a name.
Fetch.
Darn. All right, guys. You know what? I'm going to pick Waterson, guys. I think, yeah, she has been a 105er for most of her career at Animweight, but I do think she's a true strawweight. Her four losses, guys, except for the Erica Tribuccio fight, if you look at every other fight, it's been when she was a lot younger. I just think her ground game is a lot more complete. If you look at who she's beaten, guys, with the likes of, Angela Magana, great to look at, but probably not, a fantastic fighter. But she did beat Jessica Penny, who I think is a legit fighter, guys. So, you know what? I'm going to go with Waterson, and I'm going to go with Waterson in some sort of submission. So, again, I'm going to leave you guys on this one, as Joe Rogan would say. Yeah, but I'm going to go with Waterson on this one, guys. I'm going Waterson submission. Let's just say second round sub.
You played wishful
thinking.
Hello.
Wishful thinking.
All right. Oh man. All right. Well, you know what? I'm unfortunately I'm not like Ken Flo.
I finished fights.
All right, guys. Let's move on. Let's do one more. We're gonna do a spotlight fight of the night, and I'll show you what I picked, and you guys can go whichever direction you want on this card. But this is a spotlight fight, one of the fights that's not on the main cards that we just went to. I'm gonna go with my spotlight fight of the night, and you guys can go into whatever direction you want to go into, whether it's this one or another one. But I'm gonna choose this one, guys. This is a fighter that I think should have been in the UFC probably two fights ago. It's Irene Aldana, 28 years old, guys. She's coming from Invicta, 7-2. She's a superstar, guys. Maybe not a superstar, but a star in the making. She's 5'9", guys. She's tall. She's rangy. I really do think that she would probably, as she builds up a little bit more, maybe go into the 145 weight class, and we'll go into that in a few seconds. I might have ruined that one. But Aldana, of course, is making her UFC debut, guys. Nice, tall fighter, good boxer. She lost to Evinger in Invicta. But keep in mind, she wasn't feeling well. She was ill during that time. I think she was on antibiotics, if I'm not mistaken. But she's a really good boxer, guys, and a heavy hitter. She's going up against the Leslie, the Peacemaker Smith, who, by the way, blew me off at Bellator. We won't go into that. She's 2-3 in her last five, guys. Recent wins over the much shorter Rinnakai via decision and Jessamyn Duke, something they both these fighters have in common because, well, heck, everyone has beaten Jessamyn Duke, to be frank. But, right, guys?
I finished fights!
But this is an interesting fight. I think it's clearly going to be a fight for Aldana. Who knows where Leslie goes after this, guys, because she's 8-7-1. Aldana 7-2. But if you guys want to go into this, guys, you may or you might go – or if you want to go into another fight that's on the card that we didn't go into, it's up to you. Showtime, what say you?
I said my sleeper fight on here is going to be the Cole Miller fight. What is this? Mazuto Hirota? Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah. I think you got it.
I think those two guys going to crack. Besides the Jovan Perry fight, I think that's going to be a fight that those two guys going to crack.
Marco.
Okay. A little recap on Irene Aldana. She shot a freaking debut in Mexico City, but for whatever reason, they put him on Sacramento. It is what it is. I think Irene is going to murk Leslie Smith. For whatever it's worth, Leslie Smith is just a 500 fighter. I like that pick of Cole Miller versus Hirota. Hirota famously fought Teruto Ichihara, I love my bitches, on a draw on the top finale for China. And Cole Miller, I don't know what his head is, man, because, you know, he's been talking about that just punching the clock, you know, because the UFC doesn't make him, you know, fight enough. He's got money issues. I don't know what his head is, but he should win this fight. I mean, we don't know much about Hirota. We know that he's tough as fuck, but Cole Miller is a grizzly veteran. But my spotlight fight of the night is Covington versus Barbarina. Cody Covington is a hot prospect, 10-1. Love the kid. You know, he got moxie, he can fight, he got the athleticism. But Barbarina, as of late, has been the prospect killer. You know, he, Willie Alves, the Brazilian kid, he murked him. Sage Northcutt, he murked him. Barbarina can fight. And I like this kid, and I think that Barbarina is a sleeper on this fight. He's going to derail another prospect train on Cody Covington, and I think Barbarina is going to win this by decision.
Marco, I promise you, I think I was thinking the same thing when I was placing my bets. Marco, now you better not let Jay Lackey hear you say anything about Les Smith now. He may show up on your doorsteps and come holler at you, you know. He loves Leslie. Hey, Lackey got on me, man, when I was talking about Leslie when they fought Cyborg, man. Lackey didn't like that, man.
Oh, God. Well, I don't give my address away.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Oh, man. All right, guys.
So, like that.
So let's move into some news before we get out of here, guys, because I want to be respectful of everyone's time. It is, you know, the holiday season, and you know, it's, you know, we want to make sure that, by the way, before we forget, guys, happy holidays to everyone, of course, whatever you celebrate or if you don't celebrate, but of course, you know, happy holidays to everyone, guys. All right, guys. Let's get into this, guys. Breaking news, right? At least around the 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, guys. Although you guys talked about it, I know Marco talked about it on Junkie, but the 145 division, the featherweight division, is now officially, I guess, going to happen, guys. Holly Holm will fight for the UFC's first featherweight title, and it's not going to be Chris Cyborg, guys. The UFC has booked the inaugural female featherweight championship bout between Jermaine D. Randamie and, of course, the great and beautiful Holly Holm. There's something about Holly Holm, I'm not going to lie, Showtime, that drives me crazy. I just think she's a good person and man, legs for days. But what does this mean for Chris Cyborg? What does this mean for the division? And to be frank, guys, is there enough here, Showtime, in this division to actually have a division?
Yeah, man, just think about it. Now, look at this. You even had chicks like Misha that were killing herself. She was hurting herself trying to make that weight, you know, that lower weight. So you got chicks that can fight more at their natural weight, that can fill out that 145-pound division. And all I said with this, man, is mama will come home when she get ready. That's Chris Cyborg. You give her a little time. She was trying to be a U.S. citizen. She had a whole lot of stuff going on. She was out on vacation. Mama will come home pretty soon and come get that belt. You know, everything. No need to panic. let mama come home and get it sometime in 2017, and hopefully it's a fight in the U.S. so I can go. I mean, I'm a big Cyborg fan. I love him. Love him.
Everybody's on steroids.
I love Hollywood. You know, I think I agree with you on that. It's something about Holly with them long legs, man. And just she seems like she's kind of, you know, the preacher's daughter, you know, so she may be kind of sneaky a little bit, you know. One of my oldest daughter's mother is a preacher's daughter. So, you know,
there's a little snake in the grass right there.
There's something about her, though, Showtime. I'm not going to lie. There's something about her that's, I don't know if it's the fact that she's innocent. I don't know if the fact that she makes really good marriage material. I don't know. But something about her is special. I don't know what the heck it is, right? But something about her definitely is special. Right, Dana?
Thank you, dummies.
All right. Marco, what say you about this decision, this division? You called. You spoke with Gigi and Goz. And, I mean, boy, they were kind of cutting people short today. No, guys? Were they cutting people short today?
Well, doesn't matter, dude. I got a lot to say. First of all, Cyborg is not on this fight because of Chris Cyborg. They offered her the fight with Holly Holm, with Edwin Notice. Then they offered her the fight with Jermaine Randani with 10 weeks notice. She said no to both fights for whatever her reasons are. And, you know, that is your personal decision, Cyborg. You missed out on the opportunity to headline on Brooklyn in the Barclays Center, and you're going to make millions of dollars because you're going to go for pay-per-view points. So the only one that you can blame is yourself. You're pissed off about it that they did it without you. Don't cry because, you know, they offered it to you and you say no. That's it. I like this fight because market-wise, if let's say Holly Holm wins and I see they're putting their chips on Holly Holm, you can market her as a two-division champion. And if Ronda wins her fight in the 30th, then you can make a super fight in the future with Holly Holm as a 145 champion and Ronda as a 135 champion. So money-wise, it makes all the sense in the world. Remember, WME is on the hole for $4.2 billion that they had to pay back to the banks, Goldman Sachs. Luke Thomas was talking about that loan they took, that they, you know, they really need to freaking put dollars and cents into paying for the interest of that crap. Now, my theory goes in here that 145 is the first step. They are creating this new division for a reason. They need more champions. I think the ones that follow is 125 in females. And in the future, a very near future, they're going to probably get rid of 170 and split it within 165 and 175. Because the battle that we have on 206 of this interim featherweight bullcrap, you know, it looked bad everywhere. It was bullshit. You know, they need more champions on the rotation because that is what they feature on their pay-per-views. The more champions, the better. I mean, it was ironic that the week before 206, we got Demetrius Johnson fighting on a tough finale. They should have put him on the pay-per-view because Daniel Cormier, you know, dropped out and the main event went away. The guy was fantastic. I love the guy. You know, we got the fight of the year, probably knockout of the year, all in one. But still, the debacle of the freaking featherweight interim title, it left a bad taste on everybody's mouth. The hardcores, the casual don't give a fuck. But that is the near future, man, the creation of more weight classes, more champions, so they can put them on the rotation for the 12 to freaking 13 pay-per-views they got during the year. And Cyborg is going to get her shot. You know, they got her on the back pocket. You better get your shit straight because if other fighters can do a cam in 8 weeks or 10 weeks to go away, you can also do it, Cyborg. I mean, you made freaking 140 twice, for crying out loud. Get your shit straight. Congratulations. She's a U.S. citizen now. She got it like 2 days ago. Now, you're going to piss off a whole bunch of Brazilians because you're American now, but it's okay. It's okay. I'll cheer for you. But in the meantime, let's watch Holly Holm and Jermaine De Randami fight for the featherweight title, and it's going to be a really cool fight because, stylistically speaking, it's big fireworks.
So, do you guys think... Go ahead, Show. Go ahead, Showtime.
I was going to ask, Marco, so don't you think Cyborg is going to come get that belt whenever she get ready to fight?
They offer her the belt, man. And I think that they are going to offer her a fight eventually. But let's interject the fact that if Ronda Rousey wins the belt, and then, you know, Hunger Holly Holm wins the belt, the money fight that is going to make the more money for WME, you gotta put that on the equation, is going to be a Ronda Holm too. If for whatever reason that doesn't happen, let's say Jermaine Durandami wins, then they're going to offer the fight to Cyborg. And Cyborg is in the back pocket. They can put her on a title fight at any time. Now, the only one that has to blame for not being on this title fight, Cyborg, is Cyborg herself. Because they offered her the fight twice. Once against Holm, and once against Jermaine Durandami, and she said no to both of them. For whatever your reasonings and whatever are your excuses, the only one you have to blame is yourself. So don't be pissed off because they move on without you. Because the UFC is on the business of making money, and if you don't want to make money with them, they're going to find the next two girls that were supposed to fight you to freaking make the money with.
Now let me tell you this, though. Think about, this is still that way that they can build that fight up to get Ronda against Cyborg at some point. So it's still a lot of money. Cyborg is not out the money realm of this now, because that's still the way to make that super fight at some point. Ronda, the 135 champion, against Cyborg, the 145 champion. Or like you said, Holly. But Cyborg is going to be in the mix for those big paydays. So it'll happen, man. I'm just looking at this girl, man, just went through a lot. And that's a lot to ask her to do that. You know, she's on vacation. If one thing about this fight game, if your mind not in this fight game, you don't need to fight because you'll get hurt. Just like we saw Ronda was a perfect example of that. Coming to fight with too much other shit going on and got KO'd.
Yeah, it's hard for me to have somebody for Cyborg right now. Don't cry for me, Argentina. We saw her make the cut to 139, then to 141, and I was on board. I did not want to see her cut to 140 anymore. That was too much for her. Everybody and their mother was crying out loud, please make the division for her. 145, that is where she belongs. 145, that's where she belongs. They finally make it. And they offered her not one, but two fights, and she said no to both of them. It's hard for me to get on board. Everybody's like, oh, how can they do this to Cyborg, this and that. The UFC doesn't owe Cyborg anything. She's the one that got in bed with the UFC. She signed the contract. She's the one that wants to make the mega fights, the millions of dollars, and stuff like that. They offer you the opportunity to do that with two very good fights and two very marketable fighters to build the division around you, and you say no. Well, we're still going to make the division, but you're not going to get the luxury of being the first featherweight champion of the UFC. She's going to get it eventually, you know. They're going to work with her, because if they didn't want her, they would cock her. They would, like, get rid of her. Obviously, they find value on this girl because she is huge in Brazil. She's freaking humongous. So they can market that. But now they're going to make her wait. And it's deservedly so. If you didn't want it now, you're going to wait a little longer, and you're going to do it now on our timeline. That's what the USA is thinking.
Hey, I have a question for both of you, and I'll go Showtime first, because I think you've been pretty fair with Ronda, and I think you've been pretty fair with Cyborg. And I'm actually surprised that Marco, who's always been pretty fair with Cyborg, I'm surprised that he's taking that stance, because we really don't know what happened, guys. Because Dana's telling us one thing, but the reality is it's probably something right in the middle, right? But here, are you guys surprised that Cyborg, because this fight was offered at least once to Cyborg. Dana says twice, but let's just say it was offered once. Are you guys surprised Cyborg?
It was offered twice, and it was corroborated by the managers of Holly Holm and by the manager of Jermaine Durandami. They got, the both just got the contracts with Cyborg name on it. So it's not in the middle. It's what it was offered to her, and she said no to both. And she even admitted it on her statement that she said both to no. So from Cyborg's own mouth, she did not accept these two fights.
Darn.
Let me ask you this, though. Did you see about the girl actually was literally sick and had to go to the hospital after that fight? That she literally was sick, like literally, you know. So it's two sides to both stories. One thing we know about it, Ronda, the only two people that Ronda gonna take, I mean, that Dana's gonna take up for and kiss ass and make excuses for is Dana, I mean, is Ronda and Connor. Other than that, he's not gonna make excuses or not gonna really take up for anybody else, you know. Ronda can come fight whenever the hell she get ready. But the most dominant fighter that's smashing people, you know, you basically treat her like shit. But it's okay. Cyborg can get hers in 2017. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Ronda will avoid that fight.
Let's review history a little bit. It's not like Cyborg can make it any easier for the UFC, you know? First of all, she was being managed by Tito Ortiz, but it's not the biggest friends of freaking Dana White. And they still work with her. And on the contract that she signed and she agreed upon, they were trying to build a path for her to go to 135. Then they agreed to the cash with a 140. And finally, they throw the hammers in the air and said, okay, let's just make the division. Now, I think that WME is the one that actually made the decision of actually making the division because, like I said before, they need more champions. But it's not like Cyborg was forced to do anything. You know, they twisted her arm or anything like that. She signed the bottom line. She could have just said no and go and fight in Bellator or go and fight overseas, and she still could have made really good money. But she decided that she wanted to go through this path. She fought in Invicta, but like everybody knows, she was being paid by Sufa, even though she was fighting in Invicta. So let's not all try to cry for, oh, they're treating Cyborg this bad and this bad. They were paying her, you know, a pretty good salary to fight Invicta to be the 145 champion, and then try to create a path for her to go in 135 when it didn't happen. They created the division, and she said no. I having a really hard time, really, really hard time, because I really wanted Cyborg to, you know, to get her due. But when they offer you two fights, you know, one at 8 weeks and the other one with a little bit more than 10 weeks notice, and you said no to both of them, it's like, what else do you want? I mean, we were building the division around you. We know that you're going to win this fight, you know, and you're going to be our champion, and you say no. What else do you want?
Hey, Marco, do you know how much she made for that fight in Brazil? Do you know what her payout was for that fight when she headlined that card?
It was six figures, man.
Yeah, I mean, I know she was making six figures with Invicta, so I'm pretty sure with that UFC, you think they padded that up a little bit more? Because she was making $100,000.
Was she really?
The fight when she fought in the Chelsea. Yeah, she was making $100,000.
Yeah, but
then
that is because she's under she was under a Sufa contract. USC was paying her salary for fighting in Invicta.
Yeah.
Invicta cannot afford to pay $100,000. Trust me on that. They cannot afford that. They can barely afford to pay their fighters like the minimum wage. So yeah, all that purse money came from the Sufa offices. They were signing the checks. So let's not cry for me, Argentina, on this. The girl was making decent money, and they're offering the opportunity to make seven figures, you know, on the millions of dollars by becoming a champion because you get pay-per-view points. And she said, no, hard for me to get in bed with that, you know. She's going to get the belt eventually. That is no doubt on my mind. But on this one particular point, I cannot agree with Cyborg, man.
All right.
She look like a man.
All right, guys, before we get out of here, I do want to do this, guys. So quick chain of events here, guys, before we get out of here. And I want to show I want to play this song in the background for Showtime. But before we get out of here, guys, obviously today's December the 14th. Then our next show will be this Sunday, of course, on the 18th. Then on the 21st, we have our year-end awards, right, guys? So we're inviting everyone to come on board on that one. It will be the 21st. We'll go over fight of the year, and Marco will, I'm sure, set up a nice little plan there, guys. We will not have a show on Christmas, and we probably won't have another show until after the first of the year, after the 21st and the 18th, guys. So I'll try to keep the MMA Minute going. Of course, tomorrow will be Proteus's prime time. Sorry. Are you able to listen to this, Showtime? This is your song.
Yeah.
Damn, I got nothing. Crickets. All right, guys. All right, guys. Let's get the heck out of here. Hang on. All right, let's get the heck out of here, guys. All right, it's the most wonderful time of the year, guys. Before we get out of here, let's do this, though. So, obviously, we already went over what's our Christmas movie that we enjoy watching the most. Do we have a must-watch TV show, guys, of the week that we must watch? Showtime, do you have a show that you're into just now that you think everyone should watch?
I think I'm going to watch the... what's the name of the damn show? That's, let you know how bad out of the loop I am. It's the season premiere. I mean, I guess the end of the season show tonight. Damn, but I can't even think of the name of the show. That lets you know how much I work. I don't even like...
Are you at home?
Yeah, I'm at home tonight. My truck is down.
Oh, no. Darn, well, that blows. All right, well, Marco, must-watch TV show of the week for you.
You know, I got these quirky shows that are like a little science-y. This show is on the Science Channel. It's called What on Earth? It's a footage of satellites that take a picture of the Earth, and they find really, like, odd things on the planet, you know, like markings and features on the Earth, and then they go and explain it. Scary stuff like a freaking twister the side of freaking Texas on the middle of the Pacific Ocean, or markings on the ground that turn out to be markings that the post office used to guide them before there was radar and radio. So what on Earth on the Science Channel?
All right, and of course I already went over this once, but I keep going over what is it? Looking for Hitler or Finding Hitler? What is that show called, Marco, with Tim Kennedy?
Finding Hitler.
That's pretty interesting, you guys. So if you get a chance, check that out. Showtime. Hey, obviously, we hope. Yeah.
I found out what that show is. It's Empire, man. That's it. I couldn't think of it enough. Empire, the season finale is tonight, so I'm going to catch that.
Season finale of Empire. That's a popular show. You know what? I'm going to watch it. How about that? All right, guys. Boy, we ran out of time on the song. How about that? All right, guys. Let's close it out. Showtime, do your out.
Hey, guys. It's been a great night as well. I love when I can get on with Marco. And, you know, it's just been fun, man. I can't wait to talk to you guys next week if I have the pleasure to be on again.
You're going to be on for sure. That's our year-end countdown. And, of course, the one and only Marco from Waco.
Okay, dudes. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow Tony at DJ Tony. Follow Showtime at at Showtime from Tennessee. I don't know what your Twitter handle is, man. And follow the podcast at Another MMA Cast. We better leave you guys. Catch you guys next week.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week. And, of course, we'll see you Sunday. Follow Marco at Maldo Marco. Follow the one and only Showtime. And Showtime, what is your Twitter follow? Or your Twitter?
My Twitter is Rumundo, R-U-M-U-N-D-O, at Twitter.
Gotcha. And, of course, follow MMA Junkie Radio. Gorgeous George and Ghost, follow us at Another MMA Cast. Follow me at I'm DJ Tony, and follow Proteus at Proadios. And like that, whew, we're gone.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Like that.